right now.
Ready? Okay. I will call this meeting of the Waterville Economic Authority and Joint Council, City Council meeting to order, May 12, 2025, 4:30 p.m., noting that all EDA members are present. We have one flood assistance grant to approve of. Could I have a motion for that, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the flood relief grant.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Yeah, Board Bill. Call your meeting to order.
All right, call to order of Waterville City Council meeting for May 12th, 2025.
I'll make a motion that we call the meeting to order.
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We need a motion to approve the creation of an economic development district.
Okay, Chris, so what you'll want to do is just go ahead and ask for the public hearing to be open. You'll need a motion to open the public hearing.
Okay.
I'll make a motion we open the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Second has to be from the EDA.
I'll second.
Okay. Public hearing is now open. Are there any comments?
Take it three times and then you can close the hearing.
Public hearing, any comments? Any comments for a public hearing? There being no comments, can I have a motion to close this public hearing?
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public hearing is now closed.
So we have Paul Donna to walk us through the rest of the agenda items.
Good evening, Madam President, and Board, and Mr. Mayor, and the Council. We've got a full packet in front of you, and this is related, of course, to the issuance of bonds to fund the fire station. The first order of business relates to a resolution by the EDA for consideration to approve the bond parameters. So what we do is we call that the parameters resolution. Within that resolution, you're essentially providing power to Teresa and I believe the EDA president to authorize the issuance of bonds. When we're in the market, we'll have the bonds priced, and we come back with the results. And we, rather than reconvene this body at some point in the future, with this parameters resolution, you're basically empowering Teresa and the board president to accept the terms of the bonds in, so long they meet certain parameters. And there's two parameters contemplated in that resolution, and they include the total borrowing amount and a not to exceed interest rate amount, okay? Also, within that resolution, there's also, by the EDA, approval of the key financing agreements in there. And that includes the ground lease, the lease purchase agreement, and the trustee agreement. And I can, what I'll do is I'll highlight information, what the purpose of each of those agreements are, and certainly answer any questions you've got. They were in your packet, and I know City Attorney has reviewed them, Teresa's reviewed them. Your bond attorney drafted those documents, and we've reviewed them as well. Essentially, we've got the ground lease agreement is essentially for the purpose of leasing the land that the fire hall will be built on from the city to the EDA. Okay? Because the city owns the land, we're going to lease it back to this, to the EDA. And it's really, I don't believe there's even a rent payment essentially under the ground lease. It's essentially to affect the ownership of the property. The lease agreement then, between the city and the EDA, the city is the tenant of the new fire station. The EDA is the landlord. It spells out all the duties of, in a typical lease agreement between tenant and landlord. The key piece, of course, being the lease payment or the rental payments from the city to the EDA. And those rental payments mirror exactly what the bond payments will be once we finalize the terms. So that's the rent payment that goes from the EDA to the city, or the city to the EDA, and then the EDA makes that payment to the trustee makes that payment to the bondholders, okay? There's stipulations in there regarding a key piece in why this structure exists is it's subject to annual appropriation, meaning by law, the city has the right each year when you go through your budget to decide not to appropriate that rental payment or that lease payment to the EDA for whatever reason that may come up. Now, that's not without consequences, right? If the city were to not make that lease payment, essentially you'd be defaulting on the loan for that fire hall. And defaults certainly affect credit profiles, and that would impact your ability in the future to borrow money for projects. How bond investors and buyers get comfortable with this appropriation risk or this annual risk is that the asset, they look at the asset that you're financing. How likely is it that a city is not going to make that lease payment for a city hall or a fire hall? The city did this and the EDA did this exact same structure for the public works building when it was initially built. Those are what we term as essential assets. And so bondholders get quite comfortable with that risk. And so it's widely accepted into the marketplace. Now this same structure is available for other types of city assets, whether they be hockey arenas, and some people might argue whether or not those are essential or not, right, in Minnesota, but parks, other types of facilities as well. With non-essential type assets, the bondholders can get comfortable with them, but they're not going to be as comfortable, and it typically costs more to finance those types of assets. So that key piece is the fact that this is not a general obligation of the city, whereby you're not pledging to bondholders that you're going to levy taxes every year without rate limit to rate or amount to make that payment. You're going to include that lease payment in your annual budget, and essentially when you approve the budget, then the appropriation is approved, but you have the ability to not appropriate. So that's a key piece in this structure, lease purchase financing structure, for this facility. I'm going to pause there and see if there's any questions that anyone has. I know you've been studying this, you've been reviewing this for quite some time, but I want to make sure there aren't any questions. Okay. And then there's the trust agreement, and that's the agreement. The trustee, essentially, is the go-between between the EDA and the bondholders who own the bonds. And the trustee, during construction, the proceeds will be deposited into an account held by the trustee for the benefit of the EDA. And as you're building the facility, you'll make requests from the trustee. You send them a list, you just send them, we need X amount of dollars to meet our contractor's costs, and then they'll wire that money to your checking account. They'll also hold the reserve fund that's built into the bond issue for the benefit of the bondholders in the event we don't make a payment and we need time to cure that period. That's sitting there. It's earning interest on your behalf, and then at the end of the term of the bonds, or if you pay them off early, that reserve comes back to you, and you typically will use it to make that last payment. So it's earning interest for you, but it's held on behalf of the bondholders at the trustee. And then there's the third piece is, if there's any questions, typically from bondholders, they go through the trustee first, and then they come to the city, to City Hall or to the EDA. So that's the purpose of the trustee. And a key piece that we wanted to discuss tonight, and I think what I'll do is I'll walk through all these documents and see if there's any questions. And then there's a key piece in the lease agreement that we wanted to chat about a little bit related to the early prepayment. But first, before we do that, let's see where we're at with this. So, why don't I walk through the structure, and then we'll have the resolution for consideration. So this is in your packet as well. This was the finance plan for the bond issue. You've seen these numbers, I believe, before. But what we did is we put a little verbiage around essentially your finance plan. I talked, you know, we know what the authority and the purpose is. I just talked about that. The security being the rental payments that the city will make to the EDA, and those are subject to annual appropriations. We will have the ability, in each of your bond issues, you've had the ability to refinance or prepay the bonds at some point in the future. This term of this bond issue is structured for 20 years, and it'll have an early repayment feature after 7 years. So in 2033, we'll be able to refinance or pay the bonds off early. I talked a little bit about the financing documents below that. We're also going to apply for a credit rating. The city's current credit rating is A2. By Moody's, and we'll expect this financing to get a similar rating. It'll be slightly below what a general obligation credit rating is because of that annual appropriation risk. It's typically just a notch below that. But we expect it to be in the A category, and all of our assumptions and projections assume that rating. Those are the highlights that I wanted to touch related to the finance plan. The numbers begin on page 5 that illustrate kind of where we're at with the current market and the borrowing. So the first page on page 5 is what we call the sources and uses. And this is what we use to build the bond issue. And I'm going to start with the uses section, which is the second half of that page. We start with the project fund. That's the number, that's the dollar amount that you have indicated you need for your project, $5 million. I talked about the reserve fund. The reserve fund is typically sized to be about 1 year's worth of annual debt service, and that's the $425,000. We've got the financing costs that round out the borrowing, and so we need to generate about $5,593,000 of total uses. And we do that by, we've got a par amount, that's the actual issue amount of $5,540,000. Currently, you've seen this number higher in the previous runs that we've provided. There's what you see there is net premium of about $25,000-$26,000. In today's current market environment, investors are going to pay up for a higher interest rate so that they can trade the bonds down the road. And when they pay up for that higher interest rate, we capture that premium and we capture the difference and we use it to reduce our borrowing so it offsets that increased rate. It's a marketing feature that essentially allows the bonds to get sold at the most effective rate for you. And so that number will change between now and when we actually price the bonds, and that will affect the par amount. That par amount can go up or down based on the amount of the net premium. More net premium we get, the lower the borrowing amount. The less net premium, the higher the borrowing amount. So there's our total bond issue. And then on the next page, page 6, it illustrates the repayment schedule over that 20-year period. Now, keep in mind, this is if we keep these bonds, you maintain this same schedule until year 20. The rates would be fixed once we get into the market. However, you're going to have that opportunity to refinance after year 7. But here is the repayment schedule. And once when we factor in the earnings on your reserve fund that are going to be working for you, our net payment is a little, call it $404,000 a year annually. And I look back the market's been working in your favor. When we started back in, early April, the average annual payment was about $416,000. So there was about $200,000 more interest costs. The market was higher in early April. It's continuing to trend down, and who knows where we'll be in 2 to 3 weeks, but as long as we're moving in the right direction, we're pretty comfortable with these projections that you're seeing there. So I'm gonna stop there, see if there's any questions, then I'll come back to that issue you wanted to talk about in the lease agreement. No? Okay. So within the lease agreement, there's a provision, and we were talking with Teresa and Jason last week about it. There's a provision in the lease agreement that is what's called an extraordinary call provision. We've seen it go both ways. It's either in the lease agreement or sometimes it's not in the lease agreement. But what it provides you flexibility before we have that first call date, before that 7-year call feature, if the fire station is destroyed or damaged beyond essentially repair, the bonds essentially are callable and they can be paid off. They paid off immediately. There's many bond investors that, because they're counting on receiving a coupon rate or an interest for the next 7 or 8 years before the regular call feature, they'll penalize us if we have that in there. It's just a feature that they want to be able to collect their coupon or interest payment for the next 7 years and know that the bonds aren't going to be called out from under them. But conversely, it provides you the flexibility to pay the bonds off early without penalty if the fire station is destroyed beyond repair, essentially. So that's what we want to talk about. Currently, we estimate that the cost of, and I have it here, the cost of having that flexibility is about it's about $125,000 to $150,000 in total additional interest costs. So between 5 and 10 basis points, we may pay a little bit higher in interest rate to have that prepayment flexibility in the event it's destroyed. So that's what we wanted to talk about a little bit tonight. Flexibility versus that higher interest cost that's currently included in the document as an extraordinary call provision. So I can tell you that some cities have decided to remove it because they would, I think their rationale in the past has been, well, we'll get insurance proceeds, we're gonna rebuild it, and we're going to keep moving on. Some have decided, that we have a discussion here is that, well, what if the insurance proceeds aren't sufficient? We don't have enough. So there's kind of back and forth. So we'll leave it there. Jason or Teresa have any comments, but that's essentially what we want to discuss tonight in order to keep that in or not, that in there.
Keep it in, it's going to cost us about $125,000.
Yeah.
Now, on a fire hall, I mean, it's not like we can go without the building, so I don't know what we're planning on insuring this building for, but I can't foresee us not moving forward with rebuilding it if it blew down or burned down or whatever, you know.
I don't see it being a total loss, do you?
I don't. It's a steel structure, although if, God forbid, it did blow down or burn down, it's going to be, you know, if you get a fire in there, a major fire or something, it's going to total the building. But it's just a matter of rebuilding it. It's not like we're going to, you know, not rebuild it. We have to.
Have to rebuild it, but
yeah, I don't know.
$125,000 is a lot of money.
That's what I'm
to
saying.
Save.
Is,
and that's over the course of 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should save that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, look at what are the chances of it being destroyed?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that would be an expense that I'd be willing to incur, knowing that it's not like it's a storage shed or something else. Yeah. This is a absolutely necessary building. We're going to move forward with rebuilding. So,
and I know we could, you know, we could end up looking bad because we didn't, you know, if it happens. But
yeah, so
it's a $125,000 risk,
right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's ensuring that we're going to have good insurance that we're going to insure, and not we're just going to try to slide by. We're going to have potentially maybe a higher level of insurance because we're avoiding cost over here.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to go cheaper on insurance and pay here, you know, so it seems to me one or the other, mm-hmm, to a certain extent.
So if we leave, if we leave that out of there, you're saying that the interest rate's going to be less?
So these projections assumed no extra call feature, no extraordinary call feature. So actually these projections would keep in line with removing that. If that stayed in, you could tack on, we tack on roughly another 125. We'd raise the interest rates.
Sure. Okay. So that's the only other out from the 7 years. So we're going to be in this with these bonds for 7 years before we can change to someone else or get a better rate.
Yes.
How do you feel about that right now? It is, the lowest one came in at 4.7, right? Is that what the number was on there? 4.8, 4.9? Are those accurate?
Mr. Mayor, what... So these are projections that you've got. We went in early June, we'll be going to market and actually getting the results for you.
Okay.
That will come back. But these are just projections on what we're anticipating.
And you said the interest rate right now is kind of running what?
Yeah, so on that page six, there's a bunch of statistics there, and so right now there's what's called the arbitrage yield. That's simply the interest rate factored on the bonds itself. That's a roughly 4.73% is the estimate. And then below that, what I like to look at also is what's the second line from the bottom, all in TIC, it's 5.06, and that's with all the costs. That basically takes all the financing costs, equates them into interest rate, so that you, that is your really your all-in cost of borrowing with all the financing costs. And like I said, that's been trending lower the last couple of weeks. So, and then, so we've got that on the table, whether or not to leave that extra ordinary call provision in. And then we've got the total borrowing amount that we need to set as a maximum, and we need to set a maximum what's called TIC rate. And that's to provide you flexibility within your designees to basically accept the terms of the bond issue once results are known. And what we like, what we like to do is take our estimates that we bring forward tonight. And then we typically like to gross those up a little bit to provide you some flexibility in the event the market goes up and down. So then you don't have to reconvene another meeting and go back to the market.
Yeah.
That way you've got some cushion in there. So our recommendation is simply based on that premium. It's you to set the par amount, the borrowing amount, at max $5.6 million, provides you $60,000 cushion. And then the TIC rate, we would recommend that TIC rate be set at a maximum of 5.25%, so a little over a quarter of a percent cushion between now and early June. So those are the three items that we'd like your input on. Two of them will complete blanks in the parameters resolution. And the third one, we'll just move forward third one being that extra call provision, we'll take care of it and talk with the bond attorney about removing that or leaving it in the lease agreement.
Do we need motions for each of them then?
Be a good idea.
Okay.
Do you need, are those EDA motions or
the
council?
Would be EDA.
Okay.
So we need a motion to remove the...
So either remove or keep the extra, we'll call it the extraordinary call provision, and then the max borrowing amount and max interest rate.
Okay, so let's do them one at a time. The extraordinary call procedure first.
So we need a motion to remove... the extra?
Or keep it.
If someone would make a motion to keep it or whatever, however you wish to proceed.
And then vote on it. See.
We're removing it to save the $125,000?
That, right. That's what would happen.
So we'd need a motion to remove?
I would make a motion to remove that the $125,000.
Okay.
Extraordinary call procedure.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I would say the motion's passed for that. And the second one would be the bond.
So the total borrowing amount.
Total borrowing amount.
A maximum of 5.6 million.
So we need a motion to accept the total maximum at 5.6 million.
Just a question here. And not having been the nuts and bolts, the items that are being sourced either to build a building or to furnish the building, do we imagine, are any of those impacted by the tariff situation going up and down?
Good question.
In terms of the...
Good question. Yeah.
So the cost of the construction, they've been keeping an eye on that and making sure the bids have already been looked at. And there is some additional funding.
So there's some cushion in there. Mm-hmm.
I believe they've been watching that, and mm-hmm. they'll keep a close eye on it for us.
So
I mean, closing on it, so I'm just saying the close eye, but I don't think, they report back that we're not going to be hamstrung, that we say here is a limit, and they say, oh, you better be okay.
Yeah. That's already included in the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the contingency fund, right?
I think that's one of the things.
This is what the council agreed on with the awarding the contracts.
Yeah.
So that contracts were in there, so that contract amount is in there along with the contingency that's in there. And then there's a little extra in there for the what ifs.
And if it really went over by the contract, they'd have to eat some of that if it really was significant.
So contract-wise, we would have to approve any change orders above and beyond the dollar amount.
Okay.
So all change orders have to be approved. So if they're telling you that this product's now going to cost $500,000 more, you have the right to accept or reject that change order and decide what you're going to do accordingly. Am I speaking that right,
yes.
Jason?
Yes. Okay. The way I understand that, too, though, that's kind of one of the things we're paying them for is to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's part of the reason that we decided to go with a construction manager. To go to bat for us and watch things on our behalf, not on the contractor's behalf.
Okay.
And the most touchy part of that would be the metal, and they've already got information on that. That's tied in. They're just waiting for contracts to get signed so they can get that ordered.
Okay, would there be a second to that motion then?
I would second the motion.
We need it.
Bill started to make a motion and then he got sidetracked.
Okay.
Yep. So you need the motion and the second.
So I'm going to make a motion that we put the limit at 5.6 million.
Mm-hmm. I would second that.
Scott, you second that? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion is passed. And the third one was?
Set the what's called the TIC rate at maximum at 5.25%.
I'll make a motion that we set the TIC rate at a maximum of 1.25.
5.25. Nice try.
Sorry. You were the first one to react. All right, I'll start a new motion.
Well played, Bill.
Do we need a second for that motion? All in favor of that?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Now, if you just want to do a formal resolution, adopting that formal resolution, it would be resolution 25003, which includes those parameters.
I need to do that?
Yep.
Yep.
We want to create or to authorize the execution and delivery of a lease agreement. Is that what you want me to do?
No, so you're doing the EDA resolution 2025R004 approving bond parameters.
Okay.
I move that we approve the EDA resolution 2025R-004 approving bond measure parameters.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion has passed.
And then the City Council has a resolution that essentially authorizes the execution and delivery of the lease agreement, the ground lease agreement. Within there's a continuing disclosure undertaking that each year we provide information to the marketplace related to the city. And then you're also approving the prospectus that will be used to sell the bonds. Now, the EDA essentially just approved those documents within their resolution, the parameters resolution. This resolution is by the council that ratifies your participation in those agreements as well.
So this is our part in it, yeah. So I will propose City Resolution 2025R-014.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So from here, we applied for the credit rating. We've got a credit rating call scheduled for the date and time that you gave me. and that time we'll go through. Teresa will essentially present the city's finances and demographic information, economic information. The agency will then take that back to a committee and we'll be assigned a credit rating. And once we get that credit rating, then we'll be in the marketplace to sell the bonds to investors, which will include all area banks, bond funds. So you'll be touching, you know, the immediate area, Minnesota, Midwest, and the nation with potential buyers for the bonds. And so we're targeting, I think, the first week of June is what we're targeting to do that. The first week of June is when we'll have those results back. And in the meantime, if anything goes sideways related to the market, we'll be in touch. We have the complete flexibility to sit on it, you know, until the market comes back in our favor. We're planning it all. If all things keep going the way as planned, for first week of June is when we'll have the final results, and we'll be closing a couple weeks after that. So.
What in the city's finances really determines our credit rating?
Oh, it's a great question. So there's a number of factors that go in. So tax base, how diverse is our tax base? Employment base, stability, employment and largest taxpayers kind of go hand in hand. Is it diverse? How stable are they? And then essentially we'll look at population trends and then your underlying finances. And within your finances, I would say the largest factor that the rating agency will focus on is your available fund balance and how liquid you are in order to meet, you know, your not only your bills every month, but also in the event of something that might, a roof blows off or something happens, you know, can you meet those? So your fund balance is a key component of your finances that you can control.
What about debt that we still owe? Does that
That'll all factor in, and your debt ratios are pretty much in line with cities your size. They're not too high. No. So then they'll take that all that information and they compare that to your peers, not only in Minnesota but around the country, as to what ratings do they have that are of similar credit profile, and then they come back so that when, if we get assigned an A rating, people can pretty much kind of look at an A rating and see that other cities will have the same, relatively same profile as an A rated city. To put that in perspective, your AAA is the highest, so AAA. AAA would be the highest credit rating. The cities in Minnesota, for instance, like a Plymouth, an Eden Prairie, Woodbury, those are AAA rated cities. Just sheer size, really, tax base, employment base, finances. An A rating for a city of our size and makeup is a really good rating. I don't think there's really nothing we can do as a city to even get into the next double A category. It's beyond your control, really, unless we've got a couple of Fortune 500 companies that will move in and build. I mean, that, you know, like a city of Byron or Stuartville, really a Byron, who's just on the outskirts of Rochester, they have so much spillover development that their rating is unusually high for a city their size. And it's because of tax base and employers that have spilled over. So, is that helpful?
Mm-hmm. If you have a way to bring in a couple of Fortune 500 companies, we're all ears.
Yeah. Well, I know these big data centers are looking for room and to grow and build. But
I had heard at one point that IBM actually looked at Waterville rather than Rochester.
So do these numbers change if you don't get an A rating?
Great question. Yeah, they would, because we are assuming that we're in the A category, roughly an A. Yeah. So if it's higher, these rates will be a little bit lower. If it's lower, the rates will be a little bit higher.
But you have no reason to believe that we wouldn't stay where we are.
No, you've been pretty stable the last few years since your last rating. It's been 4 years, I think, since you've had a rating.
And then it hadn't changed from the rating before that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same.
You never know with the times, of course.
Correct. Well, that's all I've got. Appreciate your time.
How is that reserve fund determined then? Paul, is that, that's a percentage too?
That's a percentage. Essentially, it's governed by the IRS in order to maintain tax exemption, and it's It's actually a three-pronged test. It's the lesser of a certain test. And the test, the one prong that we qualify is essentially 125% of average annual debt service. So it's a little over your annual payment. Okay. And so that reserve amount, right, will change based on our interest rates, because your annual payment will change once we get the final results.
Okay.
But then it'll be locked in. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
thank
Paul.
You.
Thank you.
And I have the city council adjourn.
I'll make a motion that the city council adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll make a motion.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'll make a motion that the EDA adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
EDA is adjourned.
Those thank members you. Of the EDA, I know you guys have been pretty well